Good morning. There are many invitations in life, and some invitations are exciting, like weddings, celebrations, and family gatherings. Some are important, like job interview, court dates, and doctor's appointments. And we all have been invited at some point to something, whether it is a wedding or whether it is a job interview. And there are times that we have rejected, that we choose to ignore these invitations. And that's fine. Of course, life gets busy. We can't always make it to every invitation that we receive. But there is an invitation that we cannot ignore. It is the invitation of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Christ gives one of the most beautiful invitations. This invitation is not a vague religious slogan. It is a call to come to Christ, submit to Him, and find true rest for the soul. This invitation is personal. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We know that Christ is the source of rest. He is where we find true rest. When we are weary and when we are heavy laden, we come to Him. The rest we need is not found in other things like money, entertainment, success, relationships, self-help philosophies, or worldly distractions. Yet people will look to these things to find rest. But all they will find is emptiness. All they will find is no help. The rest of Jesus can only be found in Him. But this invitation as well reveals His authority. God's the only one that can speak like this. No prophet has ever said, "Come to me and I will give you rest for your soul." Not one prophet that you can name has ever said this. But Jesus does, because He is the Christ, the Son of God. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. And guess what? That invitation, not just now, but until His return, is still open. The same Lord who spoke these words in Galilee still speaks through His word today. He still says, "Come to me." And so the question we need to answer this morning, have I truly come to Jesus on His terms? His invitation is wide. All who are weary and heavy laden. Who are the weary? Well, this includes people burdened by sin and guilt, by failure and shame, by religious confusion, fear of judgment, the emptiness of worldly living, and the weight of trying to save themselves. Many in Jesus' day were burdened by man-made religious burdens and legalistic traditions. We see that with the people who, on top of these religious traditions they were to keep, were oppressed by Rome. So you had it both ways. They had it both ways. People were poor, they were hungry, they were suffering. But when Christ came, He offered them something the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin could not, that the old law could not. But the burden goes even deeper than that. The burden of sin before a holy God. Sin is a heavy burden. And so what did Christ offer? He offered a solution to that heavy burden. A burden that not even the Pharisees, not even Moses, not even Joshua or any of the prophets of old could take away. Not even the blood of bulls and goats. We know that sin promises pleasure. But brings slavery. It burdens the conscience. It hardens the heart. It damages homes. It destroys peace. It separates us from God. People may smile outwardly, but inwardly, they are very weary. They are destroyed, beat down. There's this video a couple of years ago. These two men show up to a soccer game. One looked like he was just downright depressed. He was dealing with something. And his buddy beside him was all cheerful and just celebrating the team they were supporting. Well, then it fast forwards to another game. That same guy that looked depressed showed up, but his buddy didn't. And so what the whole commercial implied was the guy, his buddy that was all cheerful, took his own life. It was a commercial for suicide awareness. The one thing they tell you is when someone's about to take their life, the day before, they're the happiest they've ever been. You can never tell that they're struggling with inner demons. And it's hard to look for these things because we just never know. People on the outside may look like they're prospering, may look like they're happy, but inwardly, they're sour, they're bitter, they're destroyed, they're beaten down. There's no true rest for those who are in sin. But good news is Christ came and provided us with the answer for rest. We know also Jesus' invitation is for all kinds of people. It's wide. This is not an invitation only for the strong, polished, or religiously rejected. It is for the sinner, the struggle, the broken, the proud who need humbling, the discouraged who need hope, even the religious person who has never truly surrendered. No one is beyond the reach of Christ if they are willing to come. That's another battle that people have. I've done so terrible, so many terrible things, there's no way Christ will bring me in. He will. He came to die for all. He came to provide salvation for all. God desires all men to be saved. All through the gospel we see, no matter how bad, when you look at Paul, he was a murderer, was not a good man. But even Christ wanted to use him. Christ reached out, and he reached back. And so we need to understand no one is beyond the reach of Christ. Also with this invitation, there is a promise that is included. I will give you rest. This is not a physical rest. We're still going to have our heartaches, trials, persecutions. We're going to have earthly problems. We're going to have earthly problems. This is a spiritual rest. You know, when we look at our world today and the chaos that's consuming our world, wars, death, suffering, financially oppressed, whatever it may be, it could be, it's numerous. The rest, we are given a spiritual rest, meaning I'm fine. I have Christ. Whatever happens in the world, I still have Christ. Christians still face all these terrible things. You know, we have a lot of people who believe in the prosperity gospel, which is false, meaning if you're faithful, God's going to give you all that you want. And nothing terrible will happen. Well, that's not what the gospel preaches. That's not what the gospel teaches us. But what this spiritual rest includes is forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, peace with God, freedom from the crushing burden of guilt, and hope of eternal life. You know, going through the book of John, which is a great book to go through to really see who Christ is and what he offers. They all held on to that hope of eternal life. All the apostles, all the disciples during that time held to that hope, knowing when this world ends, and when we stand before Christ in judgment, we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we will be ushered into eternity with Christ in heaven. This rest is found in salvation, not self. Here's what the world tells you. Fix yourself, trust yourself, follow your heart, and define your heart. Well, let me tell you, I don't trust myself. I can't fix a thing. I've tried too, and I'm sure some of you have tried as well. I'm sure you have tried to overcome sin on your own. What happened? You failed. Just like I did multiple and multiple times before. I can't fix it myself. I don't trust in myself to fix it. Jeremiah 17:9. What are we told? The heart is beyond deceitful. It's very sick. Who can know it? And not this heart. This heart. It can deceive you. It can pull you astray. It can tell you things that you believe that are not true. And that's why it's so important. Our heart needs guidance, and that guidance should be the Word of God. But this is what Jesus says. Come to me, take my yoke, learn from me. All centered on Him. Not the heart, not fleshly desires, but on Him. True rest is found in surrender to Christ. And so we are promised rest now and rest eternally. And that present rest that's in Christ is peace and reconciliation. And then the future hope of eternal rest is with the Lord in heaven for eternity. But going back to the word surrender and even the word submission, this imitation requires submission. It requires surrender. Take my yoke upon you. As we see in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 11 here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What is a yoke? I'm sure the younger people don't know what a yoke is. But a yoke was a wooden beam placed on animals for work and direction. The master of the animal would get up, have the yoke on, and would guide the animal as they were working in the fields. And what it represented was submission, guidance, service, and shared movement under a master. And so when we see here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. When we come into Christ, when we accept the invitation and come to Christ, believe and obey, we take on His yoke, meaning we submit to Him. He guides us through His word. Service to Christ and shared movement. See, Jesus is not inviting us to a casual association. And a casual association is this: I'll come get you when I need you. And so many have that casual association with Christ. And they sit and they proclaim that they are His. If you just have a casual association, you're not. You do not belong to Christ. Because you're pursuing other masters. As Christ teaches, you cannot serve two masters. Why? Because you will either love the one or hate the other. There's only one master. Now we have a choice. We can choose between the perfect master, Christ, or we can choose between or choose to be under the harsh master, the world, sin. What He is inviting us with this invitation is to become His disciples. Do we really know what that means, to be His disciple? And in my mind, I don't think a lot of people truly understand what a disciple is, what a disciple's responsibility is. I don't. I see too many Christians proclaiming to be disciples, yet here they are not doing what disciples are called to do. This is what it means to be a disciple. Obeying his teaching. The very book that we bring with us every Sunday, and you can have it on your phone, whatever you want. These are his teachings right here. Are we in this every single day? Because if we're not in this every single day, we're not obeying his teachings. Secondly, turning from sin. Sadly, there are Christians that I know of who look at certain sins and will say, well, that's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with that. Christ has nothing against that when the gospel says otherwise. Thirdly, denying self. Do we deny ourselves? Do we deny the flesh? And do we follow him faithfully? If we haven't done the first three things, we're not going to follow him faithfully. That's just truth. Jesus never says, admire me. He says, follow me. He says, be my disciple. As when he goes and gathers his first disciples, he tells them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. His yoke does bring freedom. Freedom from a cruel, cruel master. And that is sin. Of course, to the world, this sounds strange because people will emphasize freedom in Christ. But what they don't understand is that we become bondservants. We take Christ's yoke. He is our master. We are slaves to Christ. Because every person in the world wears a yoke. Yoke of sin, pride, pleasure, public opinion, Satan's lies. Jesus does not place us under a cruel master. What he does, he delivers us from cruel masters. Our master that we serve, and hopefully you will serve, is the perfect master. One who does care. The one who does know his sheep. And who saves his sheep. This invitation also includes a lifelong process. There are too many who treat Christianity as a once a week, twice a week ordeal. Christianity is a life of learning Christ. Learn from me, as we see in verse 29. To come to Jesus means we keep learning. I don't care how old you are. You could be older than the hills. As long as you are breathing, you're still learning. You're still learning Christ. You should be. To come to Jesus means we keep learning his word, his will, his character, his priorities. This is why regular Bible study, worship, prayer, and fellowship matter so much. People ask the question, how do I overcome the desires of the flesh? How do I overcome the world? And the answer is very simple. I'm not saying it's hard to do. I'm saying it's the solution is right here, right in front of us. You stay in his word daily. You depend on his word. You pray dependent prayers and you live it. Those are the three simple solutions to that problem. Yet so many will ask that same question like it is so hard to answer, like it's some calculus problem. It's not. It's very simple. But the problem is, do you do it? Or do you just simply hear? As we're told, hearers forget, doers do, and they remember. Learn not only his teaching, but his heart. The one with all authority is gentle, is humble, and is approachable. You know, when we look at Christ through his time in ministry, he is approachable. People come from all over, strangers who don't know him, to hear his teaching. He's approachable. That's who Christ was when he was walking this earth. He is not harsh. He's not cruel or arrogant toward those who come in faith. Notice, towards those who come in faith. Think about the woman with the hemorrhage. She touched his garment. She was healed instantly. He turns around and asks, "Who touched me?" She comes up afraid, thinking he's going to bash her. What does he say? "Your faith has made you well." That's just who Christ was, and that's who we as Christians are called to be. And there is a reason why we can trust this invitation. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Easy does not mean there's no cost. Following Jesus has a cost. Self-denial, repentance, obedience, and endurance. If you don't do the first three, you're not going to have endurance. You're not going to last. You know, when we look at runners, and let me tell you, my wife and I were in Pittsburgh this weekend, and Saturday morning when we woke up in our hotel and left, people were running, and man, some of them were just, it was ongoing. And I'm thinking, it's making me run out of breath just watching them. In order to build endurance as a runner, you need to do it. You start off with maybe a goal of running a mile, and you do that until you can do it easily, and then you go 2 miles, 3 miles. There are people who run ultra marathons, and it's amazing to see these people do. There was one, I think they were running, I think it was like 100 miles, and it was a competition. And watching these people, there were aid stations where they could stop and rest. Some of them would go 20-some miles and stop and take a break. Running. And they would have to change shoes. They'd have to go to medical to get blisters. It's crazy to me that someone can do that. And they were consistent. In order for us to run the race Christ calls us to run, we have to deny self. We have to repent, which means change. And we need to obey. And from that, as we grow with Christ, after we have accepted this invitation, we're going to build that endurance. We're going to overcome, as John tells his followers in John 16:33. Don't worry. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. But don't be afraid. I have overcome the world. When we grow with Christ every day, we're going to build that endurance. Really, compared to the burden of sin, guilt, and separation from God, Christ's way is light. And his burden is light because he gives strength. Jesus never once asked us to walk alone. He gives his word to guide us, his grace to sustain us, his people to encourage us, and the hope of heaven to strengthen us. Christ doesn't let us go on our own. He's with us wherever we go, and he gives us that strength. But we need to be faithful. We need to be obedient. And we need to depend on him. And so let's apply it. How do we respond to the great invitation? We come to Jesus honestly. That's the first thing we need to do. We need to be honest. We need to come to him knowing we are sinners, that we are lost. And be honest about our sin. We need to come to Jesus on his terms, not our terms, his terms. We need to learn from him daily, not once a week, not twice a week, not once a month, daily. And fourth, if you are outside of Christ this morning, you need to obey the gospel. Obey the gospel, not obey the preacher. Not obey the elder or deacon. Obey the gospel. Obey Christ. And if you were a Christian who has grown weary, then you need to return. So I pray that if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, that you come to Christ this morning. Or if there are those who were Christians and have grown weary, I pray that you return to Christ. And for all those who need to obey the gospel, question is, how do you do it? This is how you do it. You hear the word, Romans 10:17. You believe that word, Mark 16:15 and 16. Then you need to repent, which means change. Change. You're turning away from the flesh and its desires, sin, and you're turning back to God. You're making a change. And then you need to confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Confess me before men, and I will confess you before my Father. Deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. But it doesn't stop there. A simple prayer won't save you. Simply just professing to know Christ and not doing doesn't save you. You need to obey. You need to be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15 to 16, 1 Peter 3:21. But it doesn't stop there either. You must remain faithful. Not just once a week, twice a week, daily. So this morning, if there's anyone who needs to answer the invitation, I pray that this morning that you come as we stand and as we sing.